No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 21st day of December. I'm so honored to be here with you. Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. We're getting ready to lead up to Christmas Eve, which happens in just a few days, as you may or may not know. And in this, is it fourth? Fourth Sunday in Advent, we light the candle of love. Love. And I don't know about you, but we could all use more love. We could all use a more clearly defined depiction and definition of what love truly is and what truly is modeled in the world. There's plenty of evil. You don't have to look far to find it. You can guard yourself, and it still sometimes seeps through the pores and the cracks of humanity. And boy, what a time in the world, and what a time in our lives, what a time in the body of Christ, that we could step in, be, and see, model, and receive love. With that being said, it's also a brand new week. We begin a brand new translation of the Bible, and today we begin a brand new book of the Bible. Today we read Hebrews chapters 1 through 6, and today we begin the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to an angel what he said to Jesus, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father." God also said, "I will be his Father, and he will be my Son." And when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, "Let all of God's angels worship him." Regarding the angels, he says, "He sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else." He also says to the Son, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing, but you are always the same. You will live forever." And God never said to any of the angels, "Sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. So we must live very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place the scripture says, "What are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while, you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things." Now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people." He also said, "I will put my trust in him." That is, I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses. Just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit says, "Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There are your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them and I said, 'Their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them.' So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest." Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says, "Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled." And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news, that God has prepared this rest, has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. As for the others, God said, "In my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest." Even though this rest has been ready since he made the world, we know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, "They will never enter my place of rest." So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. "Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts." Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about the other day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and to offer sacrifices for their sins, and he is able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. That is why he must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as theirs. And no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become a high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And in another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain. especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting the Son of God. They themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up to public shame. When the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it is useless. The farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers, as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, "I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number." Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this brand new week that is here before us. We thank you for these words that we have read today that sometimes pierce and prick and prod and pry the things that they should. They offend our mind to reveal the condition of our heart. I pray that when we hear your voice, we will not harden our hearts. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, I pray. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I look forward to a beautiful Christmas week together. And happy Advent today. And I pray that you are held today in the unfathomable, unexplainable, insurmountable, uncontainable love of God. Until tomorrow, love each other.
Good morning, DABC family. I would like to request a prayers for Cambodian and Thai amidst the tensions they are facing. As a survivor of the killing field, my heart is deeply moved for the Cambodian people. They have endured so much and they need Jesus now more than ever for this generation and the next to bring peace and salvation to their children, community, and the country. My heart breaks for Cambodia. The country has endured war and hardship since the killing field over 50 years ago, and they are rebuilding from the ground up. I pray for Southeast Asia that many will come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Please help me and pray for them. Heavenly Father, grant wisdom and knowledge of your true God to the people of Cambodia and Southeast Asia, that they may repent of their sin and invite Jesus into their hearts. May this awakening bring peace to their land and to the world. In Jesus' name, I pray. Have a good day, family.
Hey, my amazing DABC fam. This is KSD. Just wanted to lift up a couple of our DABCers. God's precious little lamb, first of all, thank you so much for the reminder to pray for Simone from Texas. Hey, y'all. Been thinking about her and wondering how she's doing. Simone, if you're out there, we love you. We would love to hear from you. We're praying for you. So, Father, will you be with Simone on her journey as she is moving through life, and she is, whether she realizes it or not, she's searching for you, because she's searching for truth, and you are the truth, you are the way, you are the life. So help Simone to find you and allow her to come home to you, as well as to come back to the DABC. We thank you and we praise you for what you're doing in her life. Lord, I pray for JJ's daughter, Caden, who is under attack spiritually, but battling gender dysphoria. Lord, I pray against the demonic attack of the enemy. And I plead the precious blood of the Lamb over this young lady's mind. And I say, the Lord rebuke the enemy that is sending confusion to this young lady's gender. Would you bring healing and salvation to her soul in Jesus' name? Amen.
Blessings to your DABC family. This is Going by Grace, a.k.a. Grandma Grace. But there's another Grandma Grace, so I'm just going to let her have that. She's newer. So, Grandma Grace, why don't you, first of all, just like dear Robin with the white stone, why don't you pray for the prayer warriors. I'm grateful for her and her prayers and her. I'm praying for her. I heard Sailor right after her, a.k.a. Kayla, who's in the Navy and praying for the white prayer warriors in there and somebody she can fellowship with. So Lord, we just pray for that, for Kayla, for Sailor, our little Kayla Sailor, and of course KSD and LOV and anyone who's lost a child, not just this year, but like me, we're missing family. There's ones in heaven. There's some that are distant, and that's a pain also that is a very deep one. So, and Victoria Soldier, thank you so much for your faithful prayers, and God's Yellow Flower, Jamie from New Jersey. I'm just really grateful for you all and praying for you all. And praying for the people that are alone this Christmas, like me. My life can turn upside down overnight, and mine did 15 years ago. Just a series of events, concussions, car accidents, deer jumping in front of my car, just in mysterious ways that God moves in mysterious. He allows things. Keep reading the book of Joseph. I mean, the story of Joseph. He, what the enemy meant for harm, God turned for good. So just hold on to the promises. And keep celebrating Jesus every day. I love you. And when you need cheering up, cheer someone else up. Thank you. Thank you so much. Blessings on your day.
Good morning, DABC. This is God's Sunshine in California. Just wanted to update you on my dad. He had his five-way bypass. They ended up doing a five-way and not a triple back in September. And the surgery went well. He reports that he's had no pain, which is an answer to one of his prayers. So I just wanted to give you that update. Please continue to pray for his health, as he's not healthy overall. He's down to 117 pounds, which is not good. I'm also seeking prayer for my daughter and her husband. They had a miscarriage about a month ago, and just if you would pray for her to be able to conceive and for her emotional healing. I also want to lift up a prayer request for a friend of mine. Her mom had a stroke about a week ago, and she has been sedated since. They tried to take her off sedation medication, but she isn't responding. And so the family's going to start having to make some tough decisions. So if you would please pray over this family, the decisions ahead, the doctor's wisdom, we'd appreciate it. Mom's name is Lynette. And thank you to everyone who prays, everyone who listens. This community is awesome, and I just love being a part of it. Thank you. Have a blessed day.